You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day starts all over again.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
He did love the world. Let's greet each other. If you'd wave, fist bump, hello. Good. Bless you. Be seated and let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and we thank you for the privilege to meet and worship you. And we ask you, Almighty God, just to speak to our hearts and Lord, specifically, if you would, just illustrate to us through the Great Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, the love that you want us to exhibit to each other and to everyone around us. And Lord, the generosity and kindness you want us to exhibit in our lives. And Father, we just want to praise you and thank you for every good and perfect gift from heaven. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the way you take care of us and provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I also want to ask y'all to be in prayer for Anna Bowerman, one of our members. She and her mother, Marilyn, both have COVID. They're in Martin North, and her mother's really struggling. And God's been so gracious to us in our full year-round membership that lives here. We've not lost anybody yet to COVID, and we're praising God for that and thanking him for it. But I want to ask you, if you would, to intercede for Marilyn and Anna. And in fact, Kim, would you stand right there and lead us in prayer for them? Amen. Now, I'd like to invite you, if you're our guest today, to look inside the sale publication, and there's a little tear out there. And if you just tear that out and fill it out, place it in the offering, it'll help us to connect with you and to minister to you. There's an update on our project, 76 Project. I'll be speaking to that some in the message today, and praising the Lord for what he's doing, and there's some exciting things that are going on with that. Life groups, want to encourage you to take part in our life groups if you don't already. It's the opportunity to interact with the church smaller and to make strong relationships and connections with others, and so want to encourage you to make plans to be a part of that on 9:15 to 10:15 on Sunday mornings. And then worship at the lodge today. And so if you're a part of our senior ministry, going to meet over there at, I think it's 3:30. So I want to encourage you to take part in that. And then our ladies' Bible study, men's Bible study are starting next Sunday night. Men, we've just about run out of our workbooks. So if you want to grab one on the way out and sign up, if you would, just see Tommy Ellis. He's right there with the mask on in the corner, waving his hand. And the workbooks for both the men and women's studies are $10 each. And then also, we had a wonderful response to these shirts before, and we've got some more out there. And basically, it's First Baptist Church of Stuart. And then on the back, it says, "I stand for the flag, and I kneel at the cross." And with the Super Bowl Sunday, what an excellent shirt. And plus, I just want to point out to all of you that it's black. It's very slimmerizing. So you put this on, you immediately lose 10 pounds. And so I want to encourage you, they're $10 each or three for 25. And they'll be in the lobby. And Mike, where's Mike? Mike, wave your hand. There. Oh, he's in the lobby. There he is waving. Mike will be in the lobby with those if you'd like to pick up a couple of shirts. Make a good gift for friends. It's a wonderful patriotic statement, and want to encourage you to grab some of those. Bright Line train trips coming up February 24th. Nick says meet at 8:30 instead of 8:45, so that'll be corrected on next Sundays. And then want you to be in prayer for our Easter musical, King of Kings, as that's coming up. And Andrew, do you need more singers?
Yeah.
How many?
As many as God gives us.
Well, how many do you want? How many more? How many more?
Four, about 20 more would be great.
20 more? Can I see some hands? How many of you will join the choir? When's the next practice?
Today at 1.
Today at 1.
So you don't have to miss the Super Bowl.
You don't have to miss the Super Bowl. In fact, you won't. So if you want to be a part, just come at 1 o'clock and join our choir. What a wonderful time to worship and celebrate Christ. Use your gifts. And you may say, well, Pastor, I can't really sing. That is the beauty of a choir. It smooths all of that out. I can't carry a note in a bucket, and I've sang in a couple of choirs in my lifetime. So I want to encourage you to take part in that as well. And God bless you, Andrew.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. Lord, for how you love us so much, Lord, and we return that love to you this morning, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for the ultimate love that you gave us by sending your Son to die on the cross for us, Lord. We are eternally grateful for that, Lord. And Lord, as Pastor comes to deliver the message, Lord, and as we give our tithes and offerings right now, Lord, we pray that you'll just speak to our hearts, Lord. Just let us know how we can love each other and love you more each day, Lord, through the message this morning. And we ask all this in your precious and mighty name. Amen.
This morning, I'd like for us to look at a passage in Scripture that kind of mingles two things together. It mingles together love and generosity, which is a wonderful theme for this weekend, and tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I hope all you guys have gotten your preparations together for your wives. Right now, Fresh Market, if you do curbside delivery, over $125, you get a free dozen roses, but they don't guarantee the color. So, a little ad there. But when we think about this time of the year and the idea of being generous and loving each other and expressing love, it's important for us to see a powerful example that the Lord Jesus gave us in Scripture. And if you've got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 10, Gospel of Luke chapter 10, a very familiar story, the Good Samaritan. And behold, a certain lawyer, verse 25, stood up and put him to the test, the Lord Jesus. He said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, this being a lawyer, he wasn't like we think of lawyers. He was actually an expert of the Pentateuch, of the laws of the Bible, the Old Testament, the laws of God. And in the Jewish culture, these were the lawyers, and the law was the Bible. And so you could think of him also as a theologian. "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, this was actually the lawyer asking Jesus, and he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly to this, and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied and said, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, a rabbi, he too came by also. And when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And look what he did. He came to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on him, and he put him in his own on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. So Jesus then asked the question, which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Now, it's interesting in this story, the Samaritans, as you know, many of you, were half Jews. And there was a great emotional divide between the Jews and the Samaritans. The woman at the well brought up that discussion, Jesus with her, about the Samaritans and how they worshiped and what they did. And then we know you Jews, you do this. And there was a big distinction between the two. We can see it in the lawyer's reaction at the end when Jesus shares this story. He says, well, who was the neighbor? Who did the good thing? And the lawyer's not even able to say Samaritan. He said, well, the one who showed mercy. He couldn't even bring himself to say Samaritan. And so we've got this story, and I want us to look at some aspects of it today. Before we do, I want to share an object lesson with you that I saw this week that's a blessing. Well, the application is a blessing. This is a video from YouTube, and I want us to look at it together and kind of walk through it. Before it shows, we're going to see a depiction given in one of the major cities of a homeless person and a businessman and the contrast in how they're treated. So let's roll this video. Pretty revealing, isn't it? The way people respond, the way we hopefully wouldn't respond, and the kind of the prejudice they have in relationship to people. And there's a pastor years ago who one Sunday dressed up as a homeless person and put on makeup, beard, elaborately, and he sat on the steps of his church on Sunday morning as people were coming in to see how they'd respond to him. Nobody said anything to him. Nobody gave him anything. They didn't try to help him. And he came in later. He walked down the aisle. The ushers tried to stop him. And then he gave them the look, and they realized it was him. He came to the platform, took off the ragged coat, the hat, the beard, and the same type of thing. When we think about our love for people and our extension of ourselves to others and our generosity, we need to think about the application of it. And years ago, the pastor at Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith, in the late 60s, early 70s, the hippies turned into a Jesus movement, and many of them started giving their life to Christ and going to church. But they were coming in bell bottoms, barefoot. They were basically living homeless or similar, camping out. And they started coming to Calvary Chapel. And the affluent board of the church, the directors, the deacons of the church, in a meeting with Chuck Smith, talked to him and said, Pastor, these people are coming filthy to church, and they're getting our carpet dirty, and they're messing things up, and they don't smell good, and some responses like that. And so Chuck looked at the board, looked at the group, and he said, I've got an answer for this. Yes, Pastor, what is it? I'm going to tell the maintenance crew to tear out all the carpet this week. And he did. And they tore all the carpet out of the sanctuary. And then when he came back to the board, he said, no problem now. They're not going to get it dirty now. He said, this is all about people. It's all about winning people to Christ. And we need to have an open heart, a loving heart, a giving heart, a generous heart when we think about reaching people for Christ. And so in this story, I want us to start looking at it and think about this. One of the quotes from Augustine says, where your pleasure is, your pleasure with a P, there is your treasure. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. Where your heart is, there is your happiness. So we need to think about and evaluate our lives as we invest in things. And next week I'm going to share a quote with you from Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, a billionaire, where he talks about the contrast of his wealth and then coming to his death. He died in his mid-50s, and he talks about the contrast of that, and we're going to look at that a little bit next week in our message. So Augustine shares this, and when we look at our passage, we see, first of all, a contradiction of terms from the lawyer. If you'll look in verse 25 again, and he said to him, what is written in the law, or verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It's interesting, if you look at his question, it's a contradiction of terms. What must I do to inherit? In the one, the doing is earning, and in the other, the inheriting is receiving as a gift. It's a contrast. It's a contradiction. What must I do to inherit? And we see the Lord Jesus, as he's responding to this, gives us one of the greatest principled passages in Scripture, and he talks about this. 1 in 6 verses in the Gospels deal with money. 16 of 19 parables in the Gospels deal with money and finances. And so as we look at this in relationship to this story, he says we're to love the Lord our God, and we're to love him in 4 ways, and they're comprehensive ways. They're total ways. They're all, every one of them. All our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our mind. How much of us is all? It's all of it. It's everything. Every bit. It's not just love him occasionally on a weekend, on a Sunday. It's not occasionally give to him, think about him, invest in him a little bit along the way. The idea is all. It's just putting ourselves all in, all the way. And so he talks about these different aspects. First of all our heart. Now, the Greek word here for heart, we think of the blood pumper, you know, and this is our heart, and we use it as an analogy. I love you with all my heart. You know, he gave his whole heart to this, you know, and this type of thing. You broke my heart. And here it's talking about actually the inner reins. It's, for them, it was like not just the blood pumper, but the kidneys, everything. It was all the internal and everything that kept us alive, made us alive, and that. And he says, we're to love God, love him with all of that, with every bit of it. And then all our soul. Now, our soul is not necessarily the emotional part of us. Our soul is the willful part of us. The soul is the will. And we think about the soul being the mind, the will, and the emotions, but it's the idea of deciding, like the old hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus. That means I'm going to do it because I've decided to. There's a young man in our community that's just given his life to Christ a few months ago, and I've been discipling him some kind of on the side, one evening we met, and I was actually fishing with him, and he turned a bucket over and sat on it and said, Pastor, would you critique my witnessing, my presentation, how I share Christ? And I said, sure. So he went through his newfound faith and his way of sharing, and I said, the body of it's excellent, tremendous verses. You need some work on your introduction and your close in this, in your presentation. And after we met, And we discussed those things. He had me rehearse with him the question I ask all the time on the front end, and then the statement I use to lead people to Christ. And he repeated that a half a dozen times. And later the next weekend, went to Disney World and led two people to Christ with it. Amen. But when we were through, he stood up, you know, and said, "Pastor, would you give me a hug? I need to go on in." And I was fishing on his dock and his parents' dock. And so I gave him a hug, and I said, "Let me pray for you." And I said, "Lord, please, please keep this zeal in him the rest of his life. Let him determine with his will." And I prayed this for him right next to his ear. "Lord, please give him the will to do this the rest of his life, no matter what, and to share you and to stand for you." And this is the idea of with all our soul, determining all our strength. This means we eat to live. We live, some live to eat. That might be me sometimes. But in relationship to it, we build strength. And what do we do with our strength? Do we spend it on our own recreation? Do we spend it on our own devices? Do we spend it on the things that pertain to us and are in our interest? Or do we extend our strength for Christ? Do we extend it for him? And then with all of our mind, and this is the aspect of us planning and determining, what can I do for Christ? How can I live for him? Then we see next, we're to love our neighbor as ourself. Verse 27, "And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And this is the idea of extending ourselves. One of the men I've had a relationship with in ministry through the years, one of the pastors, is Johnny Hunt. He was the pastor for years of First Baptist Church, Woodstock, Georgia. He went from a much larger church in North Carolina to First Baptist Woodstock that was running about 250 years ago, and the church he left was well over 1,000. But he said, "God's calling me there." And when he went there, the church culture was down and kind of really defeated. And he came in and he said, "We need to do something different. We're connected right beside, we're a bedroom suburb of Atlanta, and we need to do whatever it takes to win people to Christ. We need to determine that in our will, our mind, we're going to invest our time, we're going to invest our talent, we're going to invest our treasures to do whatever it takes to win Woodstock and ultimately even Atlanta, this area, to Christ." And so they started doing that. And they grew, they grew, they grew, they grew. They had to relocate their church, and they grew into one of the mega churches in the United States, running several thousand. But they did everything you can think of. Because they were Woodstock, they actually put together a Woodstock festival. You know, every anniversary of the Woodstock, the hippie Woodstock, they would do their own festival, a Christian festival. They had car shows. They had talent shows. They had everything you can think of to win people to Christ, and became one of the most baptizing churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. And it's the idea of all your mind and all your planning, loving your neighbor as yourself. Here's an interesting quote from Martin Luther, the Reformer. "I have tried to keep things in my hands and lost them all. But what I have given into God's hands, I still possess." And so we are to love our neighbor as ourself. And we're to love those in need. In verse 30, Jesus replied and said, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. They stripped him, beat him, left him half dead." Then in the story, the Lord brings in a couple of religious leaders. Let's say that a priest, a Catholic priest came by and said, I'm not getting my royal clothes, my spiritual clothes dirty, and walked to the other side. And then a rabbi came by, a Jewish rabbi came by, and he said, I'm not getting involved with that. I don't know what that's all about. And he walked by. And then this half enemy of the Jews, really, this racial tension group, you know, this one came by, and he said, I'm going to have compassion, and he rushed to him. He said, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to help this person. Do you think when the victim was convalescing there at the inn and his food was taken care of and all of these needs were provided for, don't you think he was filled with gratitude toward the Samaritan? Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we'll look at it next week, but there, and you can look it up this week if you want to look at it. It's Maslow's hierarchy of human needs, and it's a pyramid that talks about even the idea of sharing the gospel, and Engel's scale of evangelism mixes with that. And it's the idea that if a person is starving to death, they're malnutrition, they're naked, they're exposed to the elements, to the world, it's very difficult for them to give their life to Christ when they have this exposure. And they're in such need. Their first need is nourishment. Their first need is clothing. And then we're able to share the gospel from that. Our missionaries in the Southern Baptist Convention all over the world call this bridge building, where they do the things that the culture or the people they're targeting feel like they need to share the gospel and win them. Shay did that and her team in Pakistan. They went to a Muslim girls' school that was running about 800 or 900 girls, a madrasa. And they donated, the Southern Baptist Convention donated a laptop to the school administrator. They taught her how to do email. They then donated a small computer lab to the school. And then from that, the administrator opened it up for Shay and her team to share the gospel in one of the hardest countries of the world, to share the gospel. And this was years ago. And the idea is meeting the need that they felt like they had to get to what needs to be done. And so here we see this aspect of it. And the idea of our generosity says, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. Let's say that all 10 times together. Do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And that's beautiful. It's similar to, I went to 2 different funerals yesterday, performed one, went to a dear friend's, and there's a statement that says, dead noses smell no roses. Once people have gone, especially believers, and they've graduated, then at that point, it's over for them. Funerals are for the living. Funerals are for those that are living. And that's why I always share the gospel. At the one I shared with yesterday, we had 6 dear people pray to receive Christ. How exciting for the deceased, the godly woman who went to the Lord at 97 years old. Could have been a Bennett. But 97 years old, she went to eternity. And she's in heaven with Jesus for about a month. And then at her memorial service, 6 people give their life to Christ. Do you think she wasn't excited in the party in heaven? It says that when one sinner repents, there's rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels. And so we see this aspect of it. God judges what we give by what we keep. This was from George Mueller, who through prayer probably raised historically as much money for orphanages and for needy people as anybody that's ever lived. And he says, God judges our generosity by what we keep. Now, as you know, we're involved in our 76 project, and the purpose of it is not for us to gain a great reputation. It's not for us to have bragging rights anywhere. It's not for anything like that. The purpose of it is to help win the Treasure Coast to Christ. And for us to put a fishing net across one of the main tributaries, one of the main rivers coming into Martin County, the 76 corridor, and to work on that. And as you know, we're raising funds for that, and we still need to raise quite a bit more funds. In fact, we're just in the beginning of that in many ways. Right now, we've set a goal to raise $350,000 needed, more money. And I've been feeling kind of the weight of that personally and the responsibility of it. Some of this is an act of obedience on my part as pastor here for the last 30 years. The Lord spoke to my heart about this 30 years ago and has off and on. I had died to the vision of it. And then God brought it back and just really by our leadership looking in on it, saying this is supernatural. 40 acres available for us, prime, perfect, and all the things related to that. And so as we're walking through it and going through it, Kim has been feeling some of my anxiety with me. She's the best partner in the world. And let's give Kim Orman a big hand. And she is a sweetheart. And she's been feeling some of my anxiety with it, which that just goes with the turf. That's part of what we're doing. And so one morning she woke up a couple weeks ago and she said, "Daryl, you know, we inherited half of this house. We bought the other half from my sister. It's appreciated in all of our market we're in now. And why don't we take a second mortgage out on this house for $350,000 and provide that toward the project?" And so I looked at her, my eyes got big. I had actually thought about that as well. And I said, "Honey, I've never loved you more. I mean, oh my gosh." But there's three things that are a problem with that. First of all, number one, the people that are critical, and critics will be critical, they would criticize us and say, "Oh, the pastor just bought this thing, you know. This is the pastor's." I actually have some pastor friends that did things like that, one of them in Orlando, and he was heavily criticized for it. And you'd think, oh, they'd say, "Look how they're buying into it. Look how they're investing in it." The second thing is, in the idea of if it were a loan, that we would be behind the Florida Baptist Financial Services and the Florida Baptist Convention in the structure of it. And then the third thing is, our loan papers don't allow us to have any additional loans, no more loans involved with this transaction. So I love you, honey, but I don't think that's a green light. I don't think that'll go. So went to bed and woke up about 4 the next morning, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, "Daryl, why don't you give people different opportunities to walk into this now, in this time, this needy time, and why don't you make an appeal, why don't you give $35,000 and make an appeal for 10 others to match you in that, those that can." And so I thought, well, that's much more achievable. I had been announcing we need 3 more six-figure gifts. And even affluent people that have some liquid assets, $35,000 is much more of an appealing number for them a lot of times than $100,000. And so I bounced that off of 6 or 7 of our leaders, actually 7 of them. And as I was bouncing the idea off of them, 4 said, "I'll give $35,000 with you." And one of them said, "I believe my wife and I will each give $35,000. And then another one I met with in my office took out her checkbook and wrote a check for $2,500. She said, "I can't do $35,000 right now, but I can do $2,500. And handed me the check, and I said, "Praise God." And So then of the others, there's two others that said, we're going to pray about it. Let us look into it. We're not closed to the idea. And so just in getting advice and asking advice for some, we're basically already half there. Let's give the Lord a big hand. So with that, a week from next Sunday, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a I Love You Jesus offering. And we're going to have like a heart-shaped basket or maybe a fish-shaped basket right here at the front and give everybody. And you may say, Pastor, I can't. There's no way. I couldn't do 35,000. Well, can you do 3,500? Oh, Pastor, I don't think I could do 3,500. Can you do 350? Can you do 35? And I just want to ask you to determine your heart. I'm going to participate. I'm going to do something. And then add as many zeros to it as you can. And so we're going to be receiving this offering, and everything is appreciated. You've already given greatly last year. In fact, the generosity's been amazing. Kim and I have teared up several times. But we're not asking you to do something that we're not willing to do. And we've got some stocks that actually they're down now. So I'm going to sell them for a loss and not think about them anymore because they're really troubling me. And so I'm just going to actualize a loss and gather some money that way. But I want to encourage you, this is eternity. And next week I'll be sharing one of the wealthiest men that ever lived, Steve Jobs, and his comments just before he died about wealth and life and relationships and importance. And when we think about these things, we're investing to reach people for Christ. I'm excited, too, about the tabernacle, what we've been discussing about us being able to build a Seminole tiki hut on the property, and we could have worship. They can build one 100 by 50 that seats several hundred people in 3 or 4 weeks. So literally, we could have some worship services out there for people to be exposed to us, exposed to the property, for us to go out there and have worship as far as early as late spring, early summer. And it'd be temporary, a temporary place, but I'm so excited about that, the prospects of it, to reach people for Christ, to reach new people for Christ, to reach young people for Christ. And also, too, the beauty of the tiki hut worship option as we develop that would be open air for any who have COVID concerns. You're outside. I think for our community where we are as a nation, I think that's a wonderful appeal as well. I'm just excited about the vision of this and our leaders that are giving these suggestions and putting this thing together, and it's thrilling. But I want to encourage y'all to participate however you can in a couple of weeks. And someone has said to me recently, well, Pastor, you know, for years you hadn't spoke very much about giving, and now you're speaking about it a lot. Yes, I am. And yes, I will. Because it's a necessity and it's valuable and important. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. If you want to know what you really, really love in life, not lip service, not what you just say you love, just take your checkbook register or your credit card statements and go down through there and look at what you invest in. Look at what you invest in. That will determine what you really love. I've had people through the years, I love church, but I've got a new boat. And Sunday's really our only family day. I mean, I have told them, you know, I would sell that boat. I had one man years ago in my first church, a police detective, and he said, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give the Lord 10% of my income. And right after he did that, he took flying lessons and got his pilot's license and bought a brand new ski boat. And I said, I thought you couldn't afford to tithe. We can all afford to do the things that we esteem and deem as valuable. and it's important. And so here we see this aspect of loving your neighbor as yourself, and we're not to seek our own convenience. Some of the biggest blessings of my life have been at times when I've been inconvenienced. I remember years ago, there was an atheist in my first church that I witnessed to for years named Eddie, and his wife Emma, I won her to Christ knocking on doors in their neighborhood, and she was an angel. And she would not miss a service at church, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, life groups. She was there. Eddie, her husband, was a Madeline Murray O'Hare atheist and subscribed to the literature. And he would cuss her out an hour before church and an hour after, almost every time she came. Ridicule her, mock her, profanity. They were an older senior couple. Well, years ago, I was out on visitation. I had witnessed to Eddie so many times in so many different ways. And I came home from visitation one night. It's like 8:30, almost 9 o'clock at night. I've been gone all day long. Hadn't had dinner yet. Kim and the kids had already eaten. She's about to put them to bed. And I came home, and I got a call on the phone from Emma. And Emma said, Pastor, Eddie's over in Humana emergency and he's dying. They've given him several liters of blood today. Would you go see him? I didn't have any juice left. I was empty. And I go, oh, Emma, I just got home. I haven't eaten dinner yet. I've been gone all day long. And then she said the magic word. She said, would you do it for me? And I said, absolutely. Not for him, but I'll do it for you. Thank you, Pastor. So went back out, got in the car, drove over to Humana Emergency, walked in. I just didn't really have a lot of patience for it. And I walked in, and Eddie's there, and I asked the nurse. He was intubated. He had the tube down his throat. And I said, is he coherent enough? Can he hear me? Can he understand me? She said, absolutely. So I walked up to Eddie's bed, I reached down, I grabbed his kind of bony hand, I looked into those eyes, those glazed over eyes, cataract looking eyes, and he just kind of cracked them open looking at me. And I said, Eddie, you know I've talked to you about Jesus for years. Emma called me, she says you're dying, they gave you 5 liters of blood today, and I'm just here to try one more time to share the grace of God with you and the love of God with you. I prayed a prayer like this. I rehearsed it. Will you pray this prayer with me right now? Amen. And so I led him through the prayer, a phrase at a time. He didn't say it out loud, audibly. And then at the end, I said, Eddie, did you pray that prayer with me? Did you ask Jesus to save you and come in your life? Amen. Like that. And I said, glory to God. Can I tell Emma? You know, I said, good. God bless you, brother. I'm gone. I'm going to eat. So I left and went home. And I called Emma when I got home. No cell phones back then. Emma, I went, I shared Jesus with him, and Eddie prayed to receive Christ tonight. She started bawling on the phone, bawling. She'd been praying for him for several years at that point. And there's a whole other set of stories that led to it, some supernatural things God did to start convincing him along the way. But if I had just gone with my own inconvenience and said, Emma, I'll go see him tomorrow, there might not have been a tomorrow. He wound up living, and he did have a testimony after that, and he stopped all the Madeline Murray O'Hare literature. But the idea in our life is when it's convenient or when it's not. Years ago as a baby Christian, I had, before I was married and before I even knew Kim, I was dating a girl in Memphis. I'd just given my life to Christ. I was leaving her house, and I was coming home to my parents' home. And when I went down a side street, a Pepsi truck, they had forgot to pull the doors, the slide doors down, and a bunch of trays, back then it was trays of Coke bottles, had fallen out, some of them full, some of them empty, and shattered, you know, on the ground. And so here's a debris field, and the two drivers of the Pepsi truck are out, and they're trying to pick it up, sweep it up, clean it up. So I the Lord spoke to my heart. I pulled over. I got out. I didn't even say anything to them. I just walked up. I started picking up big shards of glass and putting it back in the racks and trying to pile all that up and help them. And in it, I nicked my hand a little bit, and it was bleeding just a little. And these guys said, "Wow, what are you doing? This is unbelievable." And I said, "Well, everybody does something for a reason, and I have a reason. I'm giving you my time because I'm going to want your time in a few minutes." And they said, "You got it." You know. So I helped them, and then at the end, I asked them the question. I witnessed to both of them, and both of them prayed to receive Christ. And then the driver of the Pepsi truck started coming to our church. He said, "Where do you go to church?" "Broadway Baptist Church." He started coming to church with his wife and children. The wife gave her life to Christ. The children gave their life to Christ. And he became one of our greatest bus pastors in our bus ministry at Broadway Baptist Church. Because I took the time, the inconvenience, I pulled over. Of course, I was single living at home. I wasn't going to work or anything, but the idea is you and I extending ourselves further and going beyond what is beneficial for us, what is convenient for us. And God will bless you for it when you invest that in other people's lives. And then he says we're to act on our love for others. Look at all that he did for this hurt and injured man. First of all, it says he bandaged him, and then he poured olive oil on his wounds, which was the medicine of the day. So he added medicine to him and bandaged the man. He got down there on his knees beside him and was ministering to this injured man down on the road. He provided transportation. He lifted him up. He put him there on his donkey, and he provided transportation for him. He took him to the hotel, and he provided the inn and provided a place for him to stay and paid for his food and then guaranteed whatever else was needed. What a powerful, powerful thing to do. What an amazing thing to do. Through the years, some of my greatest joys have been when we've had life action here for like 2 to 3 weeks of like adult summer camp where we're meeting almost every night for meetings and like a revival. And they always have giving, living principles. And to see the generosity, there's some of you here, I've seen you in those settings being generous to a single mom or a struggling young couple or an older widow and just coming alongside and providing incredible things, sometimes amazing sacrificial things. And the blessing it is to not only be the giver, but to be the recipient and to see God extending his hand through others. We see this in this story of love and this story of generosity. As the good Samaritan, this Samaritan extends himself to another and reaches down to love another. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to do that. And I'm excited, and I want to encourage all of y'all to be excited as well about the opportunity that God's laying before us. I guarantee you when you look back on your life, you're not going to have many opportunities like this to be a part of placing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to have there's a giant Australian pine right in the middle of this property on 76. I'd like to see the cross of Christ there instead, a giant cross for Christ that people can see from a half a mile each direction coming down 76, pointing to our Savior, our Lord, and his finished work. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you for the illustration of of this godly person in your day, this person, this generous, loving, kind person, this Samaritan that stepped forward to be a blessing. And Father, I know that I'm speaking to a group like that right now. I know that I'm standing here in front of your saints, and I praise God for this body, this fellowship, and how generous they are, how loving they are. And Father, we just want to ask you, please, to open the windows of heaven and do something supernatural with us. We pray, Lord, that you would just use us to fulfill your vision for reaching this area for you and to be a big part of that. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you and thank you for every single thing you do for us. We love you. I want to ask you right now if you're not sure of your relationship with Christ. I want to ask you if you would, as he instructs us to do, to open the door of your heart to invite him in. And just say, Lord, I know you see me. I know you hear me. You hear my thoughts. You hear my heart. Please forgive me, cleanse me, take control of me, and live through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing, and you come as God speaks to your heart. I want to remind you again about our workbooks and the studies, signing up for our studies for the men and the ladies starting next week. And then also about the t-shirts. I want to encourage you to grab some t-shirts and pray about the I Love Jesus offering. And take part in it however you can, however the Lord makes possible for you. And you can start praying and saying, Lord, just provide funds for this. Provide some assistance for this. And step forward and do whatever he lays on your heart to do. And we know it's going to be an exciting day, and God's going to do some great things with us. He already is, and we're excited about what's going on. Gary's here, Gary Bowerman, and I've asked him if he would to give us an update on Anna and his mother-in-law, Marilyn, and to dismiss us in prayer.
We got a phone call at 4 o'clock this morning. Not a good one. She's still alive. My wife is not in the house, in the hospital. She's self-contained home in our condo. She's getting over COVID. The only thing she has left is just a little tickle in her throat, okay? Her mother's oxygen level was down to 60 this morning. That's why they called us. They thought she was pretty much done. So the doctor called us. We have a daughter that's in Mansfield. She flew down last night because of what I told her yesterday morning when I left the hospital. The last couple of weeks, I've been the one going back and forth to the hospital because they didn't want Ann there because she had COVID, okay? So it's been trying, but it's tearing my wife apart. So please pray for her. Give her the strength to get through all this. A few prayers for me wouldn't hurt either.
Amen.
But between that and the Coast Guard, just drive me crazy, okay? The doctor really hasn't said other than he thinks the time is getting close, but there's no way of possibly knowing. But her oxygen level right now, is, when I left the hospital this morning at 8:30, it was 88. They want it to be above 90, 92, and it's just not getting there. And she's got double oxygen masks and the tubes up the nose and everything else, and it's just not climbing. She doesn't want to eat. She's got DNR papers signed. So we kind of think she's made the comment to me and Ann, she has no reason to live anymore. She just wants to be, she wants to go home to be with the Lord and Martin. That's her husband. He died in 91. So it's rough. It really is. So please pray for Ann and my grandkids. They're all aware of everything, and they're ready to come down here as soon as I give them a call. So her body is going to be donated to science, so it's going down to University of Miami when she passes away. So at some point, we're probably going to want a celebration of life ceremony. We just don't know when yet, okay? And I'll let the pastor know when this all comes about. So again, please keep her in your prayers, especially Ann. She needs all the prayers you can give her, okay?
Amen.
Amen. I guess it's time for me to pray now, isn't it? Okay. Dearly Father, we come before you this morning, praising you and thanking you, Lord, for all the blessings that you give us every single day, Lord. I pray for my wife. I pray for Marilyn in hospital and my grandkids, Lord. Keep them strong. Give them the courage and the comfort to go through all this, Lord. Bless this day as we go on, and we ask all this in thy precious name. Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Gary. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'd be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message, and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you, and thank God for you.